This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, but Tonio said that the plays didn't really change. Harbaugh notices that, like, the offense didn't really just come out and look completely different or anything like that. So the plays didn't really change. The play calling changed a little bit, which kind of goes to a feather in your cap, Lima, about, you know, how much does play calling really matter? It's something that we overrate. Like, hey, we got to find somebody to blame. I think it matters to some degree. I think, hey, if your players can't execute or you can't coach them up during the week, you can call all the crazy designs you want to. It's going to suck. It's not going to go well. So if you got the wrong players or you can't coach them up as you get ready for it, I think you're going to find problems anyway. It's the same thing we do. Like, if a team's not hitting, well, the hitting coach needs to be fired. If an offense isn't firing on all cylinders,
that's always a good one, right?
Yeah, the play caller's got to go. Like, those type of things happen. Yeah, but they do get thrown under the bus all the time, hitting coaches and play callers.
They do. They do, and oftentimes it's the scapegoat situation, right? And that's just to appease fans in the short term. It's probably not really ever rooted in all that much fact. But in this case, you know, look, the offense was totally broke, and the quarterback running the offense was kind of incapable of doing the things that were needed. I wondered, and we all wondered, I think, was it changing too much at the same time? But when it looked as good as it looked last week, you know, what are you supposed to say? Like, you're hoping to keep the good vibes rolling in the right direction. And it was staggering how different it looked last week. And I know there were a number of interceptable plays and all of that, and that's just going to be part of the Jameis experience. But it was part of the Joe Flacco experience. But they could overcome it, because those opportunities were there in a well-designed offense when it's actually, you know, built the right way and in execution. And it was last week.
And he still did turn the ball over there at the end of the first half, which, again, you could put that on play calling in some ways. Like, sometimes we only notice when it's so, just so egregious. Like, putting the ball in the air, I'm still in conservative mode. I've still not seen this offense do anything good, for the most part, throughout the entire year at that time. So when you put the ball in the air at that moment, it's like, hey, we can get in at halftime. We got to get this ball back. Like, what are you doing? Like, you're in a bad situation. And I did think that that was an opportunity where the Browns could have just packed up and went out and been 1-7 after all that was done. But no, they were able to get it done in the second half. The play going back to, and let's highlight this, when it came to Derrick Henry running the Wildcat, well, you take Lamar Jackson off the field and you're putting Derrick Henry back there, it's 4th and 1. We kind of all know where the ball's going. And maybe you could say, hey, my offensive line needs to execute. My tight ends need to execute. We need to get a push for Derrick Henry. That was silly. Yeah, well, you know what? They got plays, too, the Browns do, and they're pros, too, and they get paid as well, and they can go out there and make a stop. I didn't think that was such a good play call. But overall, I think that play calling matters more than you do, but I also think that in a lot of times we use them as a scapegoat to go after him and find somebody that we can get mad at and fire. Darrell Ryder coming up at 8 o'clock. So you and I, we wanted to do this yesterday, and the Cavs conversation took off with, you know, Donovan Mitchell and the 4-0 start. Kenny Atkinson, by the way, 5-0, if I can just do this real quick. Are you looking at 6-0 right now? Because it's like, all right, I know we're going to lose at some point, but I want to lose to a quality opponent. Is Orlando without Paolo Banchero a quality opponent?
Yeah, they're still a good opponent, but they're totally, that's a totally different team now.
Okay. I just want to make sure. I know, like, if Paolo Banchero's out, it's like, that's not how it works in the NBA. You've said it. Like,
yeah.
You still can lose
regular season games easily. Beat the Cavs.
Yes.
Cavs come out, have a bad shooting night. Maybe the effort's not exactly where it was the other night against the Lakers, even though this one is on national television.
Yeah.
So that is something to keep in mind. Maybe Kenny Atkinson can keep them really, really dialed in. Because sometimes teams have, in the way the league works, on a Friday night game, teams might overreact to the other team's star not being there, and so you go through the motions. Hopefully he can keep him focused.
So the question becomes here, as we get ready for a Saturday matchup at high noon, James Franklin and the Penn State Nittany Lions, where he's under a bit of pressure, and Ryan Day and the Ohio State Buckeyes, this is a 3-4 matchup here, friends. Are these guys on a hot seat? Are these guys coaching for their jobs? Nick Wilson has farted to that notion and has said, no, you guys are ridiculous. To the point where he thinks it's just loudmouths like me, just being loudmouths and saying things that just aren't true in real life.
Are you just mad that people are saying that his job's on the line on Saturday, or are you still of the camp of like, nah, he's fine, he shouldn't be fired at all at the end of the season?
No, I think people are dumb and overreactionary animals to say he's coaching for his job this Saturday. Okay.
Is he beyond reproach in terms of getting fired at this point?
So he's not beyond reproach. No coaches. That being said, you better have a name. And every name I've heard from Walmart Ohio State fans, who are the ones driving the Fire Ryan Day bandwagon, it's like three guys who actually went to Ohio State, and then a swath of people who just got a really nice hoodie at Walmart and like Medina, and they're like, we don't stand for this. Okay, we, Kimo Sabe, we. But none of them have said a name that inspires any confidence that guy's better than Ryan Day. But, and that's the problem, is in their opinion, anybody's better than Ryan Day. That is Rich Rod taking over for Lloyd Carr. That is Brady Hoke taking over for Rich Rod.
That's some strong language right there. Nothing against the fine folks at the Walmart. I'm
especially
a get-go guy, which
Medina.
Means I'm a Giant Eagle guy. But the fine folks at the Walmart in Medina, I got nothing against you folks. Danny Cannell of the Cover 3 podcast, CBS Sports, he had joined Afternoon Drive yesterday. Danny Cannell says, no, Ryan Day is not coaching for his job on Saturday.
I mean, even saying that, though, is insanity, right? I mean, he's been an unbelievable coach. He's made it all the way to the playoffs a couple times. He came up just short against Georgia and was a missed field goal short of beating Georgia and probably going on to win the national championship. But I'm fully aware of what happens there in the state of Ohio with your head football coach for the Buckeyes, is that pressure is ratcheted up, especially when you see the Michigan, your biggest rival, going back-to-back-to-back in Big Ten titles, getting a national championship, running the table and doing that. Then all of a sudden it ratchets up the pressure, and then you've got not one but two former coaches in Urban Meyer and Jim Tressel telling people before the season started, this is the most talented roster in the history of the Ohio State football program.
Our friend Dan Wetzel has highlighted this part before, and you can hear more of that interview, 92.3thefan.com. I think Ryan Day is coaching for his job starting this Saturday and going throughout the rest of the year. He's not going to get fired on Monday or Sunday morning if they were to lose to the Penn State Nittany Lions, but I think that this becomes the beginning.
No, but they'll stop returning his calls for the private jet. It'll get very, very, all of a sudden, those open lines of communication, they'll change in a hurry.
Michigan is a team that went to the national championship game. You know, there's a conversation that's happened, the transfer portal here. There is a loophole in this transfer portal. And Dan Wetzel, again, very smart guy, good friend of you, and nice guy to me. He has kind of highlighted this loophole that kind of makes it seem like, hey, this is almost like the NFL draft, where the worst teams, they get the pick of the litter in the transfer portal because they can hit the transfer portal. The other teams are playing for their national championship. The other teams are going to go to the playoffs. So, like, Ohio State, they go to the Cotton Bowl. A lot of guys are getting out. It's like, well, whatever. They're moving on to 2025.
Yeah.
Ohio State at that time. So they can go out, Kyle McCord, get out of here. Will Howard, come here.
That's exactly
what
happened.
We're going to give you a bunch of money.
Yeah.
Michigan, they got to go for a national championship. They got to go for the gusto with not just with a national championship, but everything else that was behind it with Michigan. Okay, well, you're left with Alex Orji. You could have went and got Curtis Rourke, except you couldn't because he was already moving on. You could have went out and got quarterbacks X, Y, and Z, except they were already moving on earlier than that. They couldn't sit around and wait on you. So now it goes from 15-0 to maybe 6-6. And for Ohio State, it's like, hey, you know, it wasn't the best way we wanted it to end, but hey, we got Will Howard now. We got these players here. Nick Saban retired. We can get his guy in. You can hit those transfer portals. You can do that a little bit earlier. So it helps the teams that don't do as well in a season go out and get those guys. And because Ohio State's a have, let me just tell you this. Yeah, your program is bigger than Ryan Day. If we were in Omaha, Nebraska doing sports talk and it was the Bo Pelini days, I'd be enemy number one because I'd be going, guys, you ain't that good.
Yeah.
9-3 and 10-2 is about your ceiling.
Yeah, how much better are you supposed to get?
How much better are you going to get? West Virginia fans, how much better are you really going to get? Before you go firing a guy, you got to be careful. Arkansas, prime example. Before you go firing a guy, you got to figure out how much better it's going to be. Ohio State's a have. Ohio State is one of the three, maybe four, programs in the country that could say, yeah, 10-2 ain't good enough. Look at what we paid for this roster. That's not good enough. And if you lose on Saturday, you could find yourself as on the outside looking in, and then I question, your team has been a team of mercenaries. I don't think that they have. Somebody brought this up and goes, well, what about when Nick Saban retired? And that was one fan, I understand that, but I go, Nick Saban was a legend. And also, those guys are playing for money too. Like, you have mercenaries on your team. Do they have the same type of personal attitude towards the Michigan Wolverines that an Ohio State fan listening to this does? I bet not. So if they all of a sudden find themselves on the outside of the playoffs looking in, maybe that lights a fire. Or maybe they're just getting ready for the 2025 NFL draft. And if that's the case, and you go out there and you struggle for the rest of the year, because I thought you would come back and look pretty decent after the loss, you look rough against Nebraska.
And they got offensive line issues that they might not be able to overcome with this roster. Right,
you have depth chart issues there in that offensive line. That's absolutely true. Ryan Day has looked crazy on the sidelines recently here. I think that he does
feel shaken. He looks totally shaken. Yes. The pressure's getting to him. And, you know, he can still rewrite this. He can still, you know, take this to a level with actually some good coaching, you know, considering the expensive staff that he has, considering all the resources that have been afforded Ohio State, that basically every team around the country, with the exception, I think, Oregon, would have loved to have the NIL situation that the Buckeyes had. So they have afforded this coach everything so they don't let what happened last year. The fact that they added injury to insult, that not only did you lose to Michigan, Michigan went and won the national championship on Ryan Day's watch, which to me is a mortal sin that I'll never forgive Ryan Day for allowing that to happen. It's been 5 years since you've beaten Michigan. They're 2-7 against top five teams, and they gave him the world this year. That faucet's going to get cut off big time if Ryan Day continues on. They miss the postseason. The boosters are going to make this a very easy. Danny Cannell can say whatever he wants, and Nick can say whatever he wants. You know how those people are in Columbus, and it's not just Columbus. It's all over the state.
So I want to ask you fine folks, because I think he is. You seem to agree with me. You agree with me? I think he is coaching for his job here from here on out.
Again, if they miss the playoffs this year, he's done. It's not even a conversation. He will get replaced.
Well, let me ask you this then, folks. We got people here, 216-474-0092. Is Ryan Day coaching for his job? Should he be coaching for his job? Or is Lima a Walmart Ohio State fan, and am I just a stupid animal fan? Quote unquote. That's Nick Wilson and Spencer German yesterday. By the way, Cavs Magic tickets, Cavs versus Orlando tickets coming up at 7:40. So in like less than 20 minutes, you can win Cavs versus Orlando tickets coming up at 7:40. I don't know why Nick makes it so hard. What am I missing? Like, he should be on the hot seat if they lose. I do think he's coaching for his job in so many ways. Like, he's not going to get fired Sunday morning if they lose to Penn State.
No.
But you start to see the beginning of the end going, wait, how much did they charge the roster? How much was the roster? $20 million by some estimates. Urban Meyer himself, the most expensive roster in college football. I didn't say it. Urban said it. Urban, the guy who won the last national championship for you, he's the guy who said it. He said it. He knew what he was saying when he said it because he knows everybody pays attention to what he was saying. He's the one who called the most expensive roster in college football. Nick Saban said the same thing. All right, two of the legends the last 30 years have said it's the most expensive roster in college football. If you can't win, okay. And again, the names that we bring up, it's like, it's not sweatpants McGillicuddy, as Lima would say. I mean, these are guys who, like Mike Vrabel can beat Purdue and beat, I would say, Indiana, but they're having a great season. I love Kurt Cignetti. He can beat Northwestern. He can beat all these teams by 50. He can also beat Michigan. I would also put more faith in him to win in a playoff scenario than I would Ryan Day right now.
I would just add...
Play that audio later in the year if I'm wrong. That's fine, too.
I would just add what I think to be pretty important facts that surround the program, which is got a new university president, was not there when Ryan Day was hired. You got a new athletic director, was not there when Ryan Day is hired.
Mm-hmm.
Gene Smith is gone, okay? There is a very, very different feeling around that place. And Ryan Day, he's got to know this, that, yeah, he's been there longer than you think. I mean, do people realize that Ryan Day has been there since, really, he was the interim coach. Not the interim. You remember he was the stand-in in 2018 when he coached, you know, three games when Urban was not permitted to. And then 2019, he became the full-time head coach. And he got off to the start with Urban's players by beating Michigan, but that's the last time. That was 5 years ago. So Ryan Day has been there longer than I think people believe.
Who's their AD?
And I think they're going to want to see... Gene Smith was... Oh, now?
Who is their AD now?
It's Ross Bjork.
And where was he at before?
Texas A&M.
And who did they just hire? Mike Elko.
Mike Elko,
and how good are they doing now? And they were under a huge... Remember, that was, $77 million to make him go away? People didn't think they were going to fire him this year or this last year because of that? I'm just saying, like, if you can't not... the situation at Ohio State ain't nearly as bad as what it was at Texas A&M. That's granted.
Well, Nick also seems to think like they can't get the biggest names or the biggest up-and-coming coach or the newcomer. Like, they can get whoever they want.
I don't understand.
They're Ohio State. Like, does he think that the resources aren't going to be there to get whoever they want? Now that doesn't mean they're going to hire the best coach. Like, that doesn't mean that it's going to work. But I have a strong feeling that Ohio State, given all that they have, like... I have a lot of confidence that whoever they hire is going to succeed.
I would love to knock down an Ohio State fan a peg or two. I can't. You are one of the programs where if your job becomes available, every coach in major college football and every coach in the NFL, with maybe the exception of a couple, think about it.
It's a destination job.
I can't even name off the top of my head the ones who wouldn't even think about it. Like, maybe Sean McVay would go, thanks, but no thanks.
Well, I asked Dan Lanning. Does Dan Lanning pick up the phone if Ohio State comes? Because Oregon has NIL money.
And you can get more money out of really Oregon if you really wanted to, if you were Dan Lanning.
Well, that's why he would take the call,
probably. Which already makes a boatload of money. Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah. So you can make your situation that much better, or you could go, hey, you know what? Ohio State is Ohio State, and they're one of the programs where it's not on autopilot, but it's still really good. And
well,
I can't envision a scenario.
It feels like autopilot. You know why?
Why?
Because look how many games Ryan Day has won, and we don't even really know if he's a great head coach.
No, that's true.
We don't really know. I mean, Nick can trot out the record all he wants. What would his record be if he was the head coach of Iowa, Ryan Day? What would be his record if he was at Northwestern? Come on. Yeah, we're being a little silly here.
He's saying he was born on third base?
He's halfway down. The bases, come
safety
on.
Safety squeezing.
Right. They had a full head of steam.
Guys, I know it sounds like I'm beating up on Ryan Day, and I have a lot. I really have. I from everything from the lack of toughness that the Ohio State Buckeyes have shown over the last handful of years to the hair color to, I mean, everything. Like, hey, you have a job that's stressful, your hair's that jet black? All right, that's cool. Like, those type of things have always bothered me. I've just never been a big Ryan Day fan. I ain't going to lie to anybody. But if he was that good of a coach, I would have to accept it. I think he's a good coach. Is he the right coach for Ohio State? I don't know, man. There's a lot of hot air being blown out there. But there's very little substance.
He just looks so small.
Very little substance.
The Lou Holtz stuff will forever bother me. It looks so small.
You, don't it?
It looks so small.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All that just looked unbecoming of what would be a legendary coach at Ohio State. You're not legendary if you have to go on a rant like that. It was just kind of embarrassing. And there were Ohio State people at the time that were not even all in on defending him. And I'm like, because they know. Well, and the people that are around him every day at Woody
They're
Hayes.
On SID he tried to stop him from saying it. You saw the video.
He doesn't exude the confidence that Jim Tressel or Urban Meyer exuded. And there's a reason, because he's not Urban Meyer and he's not Jim Tressel. And right now, he's not even close.
Your chance to go on a Browns fan cruise coming up at 9. 216-474-0092. Ohio State playing Penn State tomorrow morning. Tomorrow at high noon. Is Ryan Day coaching for his job starting tomorrow? Is he on the hot seat? Matt on the road, you're first up in the fan. Hello.
Absolutely, Ryan Day is coaching for his job. Like I you can even throw out like the whole 18 playoffs. I've seen coaches in the NFL get fired like for making even though they make the playoffs. Like I think the 8-game playoff thing is just going to be used as a crutch. And like you guys said, new AD, new president. I don't think Ross Bjork's going to have the patience to deal with this. And, you think about just certain things. He said after they canceled the game in 2020 that he was going to hang 70 on them. They haven't won a game against them since up there. You look at, like you said, trying to fight Lou Holtz after really a mediocre game.
And when Lou Holtz was right, everything he said has been proven correct.
Well, he stuck his neck out, basically throwing Kyle McCord under the bus. And I know Kyle McCord hasn't been great in Syracuse, but I mean, has Ryan Day looked good? I mean, I think he's willing to throw everyone else under the bus to make himself look good. If you remember, I think it drives me nuts when they talk about, they had Georgia on the ropes. They almost beat Georgia. They had a 14-point lead with 10 minutes left in that game, and Ryan Day choked it away. I know everyone's going to be like, I need a big name. Was Ryan Day a big name when he came in?
Well, it's not and thank you very much for the call. I agree with you. It's not even that it's a big name. You can be critical, I guess, of people and their names that they keep coming up with. Well, it's okay if they're the right names. Like, if people keep saying Mike Vrabel, well, I think there's a pretty good reason why people keep saying Mike Vrabel. I think there's a pretty good reason why people might say Luke Fickle. There's a pretty good reason why people might say a couple of other names. Yeah, there's a couple of other names out there. And again, there's probably names out there that, guys, if this job opened up today, there's names that none of you even thinking about that would absolutely consider this job, that you would never think in a million years would consider this job. They will absolutely consider the job. It's Ohio State.
Well, it's also, it might be their only shot to get Mike Vrabel. I mean, this might be the only time Mike Vrabel's unemployed at the same time that you would have a coaching search.
It's not even just Mike Vrabel.
I'm bringing him up because he's obviously a famous alum who would bring a ton. He's such a respected coach. And much in the way that Harbaugh was able to go to his alma mater, even though it was rocky for longer than you think, he ends up winning a national championship. And what is Vrabel going to do the minute he gets there at Ohio State? He's going to fix the lines. I mean, their lines are going to look like Ohio State national championship lines.
Peter in Perrysburg, you're next up on the fan. Hello, Peter.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Hi.
I think you guys are half right. I think you got to remember they're the third best team in the country. We're ranked below them. It's all about context. We lost to the number one team in the country on the road by one. If they lose by one score or by one or by three, I don't think it'll be bad. The game I'm looking at is Indiana, because Indiana looks fantastic right now. And if Indiana comes in the second last week of the season to the Shoe and starts bullying us and beating the hell out of us, that's the time where it's just like, see ya.
Well,
wouldn't want to be.
I think you make a great point. Go ahead, Tom.
I just want to add real quick.
Peter makes a great point.
I wasn't outraged that they lost to Oregon. I do think he got outcoached.
No.
I think Dan Lanning pulled some cards that were incredible and kind of was more about Dan Lanning being a really, really good coach than it was.
They lost by one on the road to the number one team in the country. That's not a bad loss.
And they had some fluky things go against them. There was an offensive pass interference. There was an onside kick. or what ended up being Ontae Gate. I didn't kill him for that. It's just the margin for error now changes, because if you lose at Penn State, now it's going to be hard because you're not going to get into the Big Ten championship game.
Yeah, so but I don't think if you lose to the because you got to think about who the committee, like the committee is irrational. So they'll look
right.
at our if
and they want Ohio State,
State only
they
lose this, if they only lose to Ohio State and Oregon, so they lose to the number one,
Penn State,
number
Penn
two
State,
or number
Penn
three State. Teams. Or Penn State, I apologize. They lose to Oregon and Penn State, and Oregon and Penn State play in the Big Ten Championship as undefeated, 1-2 ranked. And we lose to that both of them by one score on the road. Why wouldn't Ohio State be in
well,
the playoffs?
Well, now see, style points against Indiana and Michigan
not,
matter, right?
It's not just
well, if we beat Indiana, then and Michigan, then yeah, I think they'd make the playoffs.
If you're not in a Big Ten championship game, though,
you better look. I think you better look really good against those teams.
You got to look. You have to, Peter. Thank you very much for
just
the call.
Just to cement that case, right?
I do think that Peter has a good point. Because let me say this:
they want Ohio State in.
Pick them to beat Penn State? I pick them to beat Penn State. They haven't lost to Penn State since 2016. I pick them to beat Penn State.
The Penn State quarterback situation is the one reason that I'm feeling more confident than I think I probably should.
Okay, but I'm still picking Ohio State to beat Penn State.
Against ranked team situation.
But yeah. What I think about, yeah. And this is exactly what
the Penn State against Ohio State situation.
Yes.
This is what university presidents and board of regents do. You're not going to run out and fire a guy, but it starts that conversation. That's what it does. Like let me bring up Notre Dame. Notre Dame lost to Northern Illinois. It looks more like a fluke game as every passing week goes by, where Notre Dame looks better and Northern Illinois kind of is just a MAC school. Northern Illinois, nothing against Thomas Hammack. I know you love the guy and he seems like a pretty good dude, right? But that if you go out there and you're going, hey, you know, you lose this one, you lose that one. Like I thought maybe Louisville would get him fits. Nah, they took care of that. I didn't think Navy would get him fits, and they certainly took care of that. Like if they continue this and it's like, all right, 10-2, 11-1. No, okay, he's fine over there. Freeman's fine. But if you end up 9-3 and you miss the playoffs as Notre Dame, people start talking. You're not maybe getting fired this winter, but then that conversation starts for the future. And for Ryan Day, I think you've already had that conversation start because you've lost to Michigan 3 years in a row and you've looked weak doing it. So now that conversation starts to heat up where, okay, we lost to Michigan. That happens. Michigan won the national championship. Okay. But if you lose now, you lose a great game to Oregon, you lose to Penn State, all right, can you beat Michigan? Are we having that discussion? All of a sudden, if Indiana gets you or something like that right before that week, then I really worry about the Michigan game, because you should just be able to out-ass them because you're a much better football team than they are right now. But if somehow they were able to punch you in the mouth because you have a team that's already checked out, because you have a team full of mercenaries there, then yeah, you have a serious, serious culture problem on your hands that has bubbled up out of nowhere, where you have a coach that doesn't know how to lead, you have a coach that doesn't know how to motivate, and you have a coach that's really just all surface. So if we're going to sit here and call fans Walmart fans, which again is supposed to be some sort of a dick, then guess what? I guess you got a Walmart coach. I guess that's what you have. If it's all just surface level, then maybe your coach is a Walmart coach. Maybe that's the case. The guy you're defending, who's not even you, I'm looking at you.
I'm amazed that anybody is really trying to make that big of a case.
It's a tough job.
That Ryan Day has been an elite head coach. He's been good.
He's done a fine
but
job.
But I also said, what is he doing at so many of these other Big Ten schools? Like, if he had their talent as opposed to Ohio State's talent, what is Ryan Day? I think he can coach offense. I think he's pretty good at play design, but that's different from being the head coach of an elite institution and winning national championships. As we've seen, this guy has failed in the big moments, and he's failed against Michigan when your predecessors kicked their ass.
I've watched Chris Klieman go from North Dakota State, which is a Cadillac program, to Kansas State and be the first guy, excuse me, the only guy other than Bill Snyder to be able to keep them competitive. I've sat there and watched Kurt Cignetti do a tremendous job at James Madison and then go on over there to Indiana, which is a team that was on its ass after last year, and has them going because he hit the portal as hard as he could and he got those guys to believe. And he's sending letters to the student section about how this is just the beginning of Indiana football. And maybe this is just the year of Indiana football. The guy's 63 years old. But it leads you to think, what if guys like that had that talent? What if guys like that were able to get those type of guys at Ohio State? And I bet there's a lot of guys out there that are able to do that, and they probably look at it with a lot of jealousy and a lot of bitterness because they could beat Michigan with the talent that they have. They could make it come down to something better than just an extra point, or excuse me, just a field goal against Georgia, and then go on and win the national championship. Like, these are the things that, hey, you can make arguments for Ryan Day. It's not like he's garbage. He's not garbage. But to say we can't even have the conversation, you're Ohio State, that's nuts. You should demand more. You should demand more. You were lucky enough to be born in this region of the country and be that fan. And this is me as a non-Ohio State fan. You're lucky enough to be born in this region of the country. And as an Ohio State fan, yes, you should demand more.
He tapped into old Ken Carmen. I should say young Ken Carmen. I appreciate this.
It's a different time for me. We're crazy times. When I'm picking through the garbage at 4:30 in the morning looking for keys, I start to say some wild things.
Ken knows his Michigan Wolverines are not good this year.
Sometimes you just need a fix.
FML, my life.
My life.
FML,
fix my life.
Kenny, what do we do?
Fixing lives.
My life.
All right, gentlemen. This one's going to hit close to home for you two. Because finally, got real trick-or-treating experience. Izzy was old enough last night, walking on her own. She was knocking on doors. She was loving life. You know what wasn't loving life necessarily?
What's that?
Her parents, who had to shield her from the wild swinging embers from the fire pits as they were raging, even though it was 70 degrees outside yesterday.
Yeah,
and people had fire in every driveway. You guys are pyromaniacs. Can you guys explain to me?
I'm not a pyromaniac.
Both of you are.
I used to be a pyromaniac.
There were 30-mile-an-hour gusts of wind yesterday.
I know fire
safety
now. Can
I say that
now?
Saying I had a fire yesterday,
yes,
too,
and
in my
you
driveway.
Had one, too. Explain yourselves.
I had a fire in my driveway Saturday.
Mine was for a different reason. As we spoke about yesterday, I stopped doing full sides because I wasn't getting enough traffic. But there's a ton of traffic up the street from me. My bonfire is a signal fire. I've got the blanket over, and I'm puffing it up. I'm sending out the signals to say, hey, we've got candy down here. Come this way. But I understand where you come from. My embers, if you're a responsible fire owner, you take care of those embers and they don't blow out. I had one instance where they kind of blew out. And usually I sit in a chair. When it's colder out, I sit in a chair and let the kids kind of enjoy the bonfire, right? They warm up a little bit on their cold walks. But it was 70. And I actually went out in front of the fire and made sure that they got their candy out there yesterday.
So you are responsible.
I do think, though, that as a parent, you've got a head on a swivel looking for those embers.
It really was yesterday. I mean, she had a blast. It didn't become a problem, thankfully, because we were kind of skedaddling around. Yeah. But I was just impressed that so many people, Kenny, had fires. It was the nicest Halloween.
Because it's part of the ambiance. It's part of the ambiance of Halloween. Everybody who gives up. Now, I transferred the cough to you. I'm sorry about this. This is how contagion happened. It is part of the ritual of the handing out of the candy. At the end of the driveway, you hand it out. You get the little fire going there. Now you got the solo stoves that are, aren't cheap stoves. Saw that. Lord almighty. Congratulations on all your success out there.
Mine is not.
But people, it's part of the fun and part of the tradition and ritual of it. So it's part of the ambiance. Now, if it were 90 degrees outside for some reason, maybe you do make that change. But no, man, no. I can't imagine. I can't tell you. I should count next year how many fires there are out in driveways while we are going out and getting the candy. I mean, you had to have in my neighborhood alone, definitely a dozen and a half. Had to be 18, 19 fires.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's a neighborhood by neighborhood thing.
Yeah,
though,
man.
Too.
Is there a temperature, though, where you would say even the people that love this are obsessed with having the fire pit for whatever reason that you guys are outlining? Is there a temperature where they'd say it's a little too warm?
Not on Halloween, there's not.
No.
You have bonfires in the summer. I mean, that's when we have bonfires. And it can be 80 degrees, you know, at 10 o'clock at night, and we're still having a bonfire. I think you're looking at this caveman-like where it's a heat source and a cooking element. No, this is an ambiance thing, totally.
Yeah.
I mean, your daughter doesn't like the skeletons.
No.
Should they take down the skeletons? Because
well, they had to do
scared.
That at a restaurant. They did do that. They were very nice over there at Hail Mary's on the west side. Let's move them.
Boy, everything should just be done for your daughter.
I didn't ask
everybody
them to.
Everybody should just change their entire lives
they
for
felt
your kids.
Bad. They who's felt
the,
bad.
Who's
she was
the mayor
emotional.
Of Bay Village Knapp is, I think, is the last name, right?
I mean, Lord.
Put out a town charter. No more bonfires.
Well, Owen saw how I was yesterday when somebody left about 5 minutes early. He saw how I was over there.
The other,
changing other people's schedules.
The other thing I would... We can talk about that another time. The other thing I did want to ask about, because I grew up in a cigarette home, and I reeked for years after.
Well, cigarettes are different from bonfires.
Right. But there is a distinct fire and smoke smell.
There was yesterday. I had a little kid dressed like Lightning McQueen. He's like 3 years old, and he goes, "Fire stinks, right?" And then he went down, and he actually made a double pass back past my house. But the next kid was like, "Your bonfire," and this kid's five, and he's like, "Smells so good."
So he liked it.
Oh, loved it.
Because he's from Ohio.
And I told him, I say, if you seemed Lightning McQueen, tell him you like the smell of this bonfire.
You think that's an Ohio thing?
Yes, people like bonfires here. It's part of the fun. Part of the tradition. Dude,
Power rank your bonfire states. I want you to power rank them right now.
Easily.
Who does it like Ohio?
Ohio. Number two, I think West Virginia.
Whoa, okay.
I think West Virginia does a fine bonfire.
You know what?
I think it's a fine bonfire
Dumpster
state.
Fires, too. They literally set
Well, I don't know much about that.
Fire.
You're the one who worked in Parkersburg, not me. Number three.
Tough to contain, too, by the way.
Well, I got to say, the fine state of Tennessee... I've seen a lot of pictures from people. I've only been to Tennessee one time. I've seen a lot of pictures of people in Gatlinburg who are at like cabins, like, we built a nice cozy
they're
fire.
They're called the Smoky Mountains for nothing.
That's right.
They're the Smoky Mountains.
That's
they're not
they
the
got
clear
the
air mountains.
But you they're not say the, Texas.
Your bonfire stinks. Mountains.
And our 2 year old might get set on fire.
They're not the change everything you do because my daughter can't be bothered by it. I have a problem the way you live your life. Mountains.
What did your daughter dress as yesterday?
Yeah, third degree burns. That's what she dressed as.
Kindling?
She was a purple witch. She's a purple witch. She looked great, Kenny.
She dressed like her mother, a PTA member that's way too involved.
I'm gonna share some pictures.
I'm sorry.
With you.
That was mean spirit. I apologize.
That was very mean spirit.
I apologize.
She was a purple witch?
She's a purple witch because we were trying to... She was so scared about the skeletons and the witches.
Yeah.
So we tried to fight fire with fire.
Literally in that case.
Good candy haul?
You know what? It was amazing.
Yeah.
Everybody...
And
the amount of full candy bars, I could not believe.
I would imagine off the top, what was your tax?
Huh.
What'd you tax her?
You know what? We haven't taken... Honestly, I brought one Reese's in, but it was a mini. Okay. It's because I'm trying to stay disciplined. Because it could be a day.
Oh,
it could be one of these days. But these are so
good.
See,
those are still like the decent sized ones. They got the really small ones.
I know.
Don't get me started on the size of Halloween candy.
As curmudgeon-y as I was yesterday, we bought a ton of candy. And I was just, I go, take some candy. And they take two pieces. I'm like, no, take more.
Okay. Nick on the afternoon show yesterday, the one thing I did agree with him, they were talking about the differences, what you get with candy. And the gummies, as opposed to the chocolate, the packs of gummies only come with like two gummies.
That's true.
That's ridiculous.
Now we're talking about just the kid-friendly.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, the kid-friendly gummies.
Yeah, the other ones, I don't know how many you need.
You might do a quarter of one of them deals. Yeah.
And then another one in 45 minutes.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to deal too damn strong, I'll tell you. All right. Yeah, get over the bonfire stuff, all right? You guys can deal with it 1 year. All right? We don't need to change everything around for the Lima family.
Next year, dress as... fire retardant suit.
Your chance.
Stop, drop, and roll. We'll be practicing that like crazy.
He's going to go as Smokey the Bear, and he's going to be pouring water over everybody's fires. A lot of fun.
Everybody's
just
fun.
Just for Sarah Ono.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.